it's all gonna be okay. So I wait in vain, 'cause nothing ever really seems to change.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast.
Hey, y'all, and I'm JJ.
Hey, guys, I'm Kat.
And on this episode, we have Regina Hart. I actually saw Regina on TikTok sharing some of her paranormal stories. And it also turns out that she is dropping her debut single, This Is Goodbye, on December the 21st. So make sure you guys check that out. And I'm sure she'll tell us exactly where we can find it. Regina, how are you doing?
Hi. Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long have you been in the paranormal and in the music industry?
So in the music industry, I've written lyrics and poetry since I was a kid. And I've written some songs for local artists. I'm in Orange County, California, but I just started really with COVID, making my own songs. And then paranormal, by choice, helping people probably the last couple of years, but not by choice since I was nine. My brother and I drowned actually when I was nine. He fell into the deep end of the pool. He was seven. I tried to pull him out, but he pulled me in and my heart stopped beating for about 13 minutes, his for 17 minutes. So we were airlifted to the children's hospital and put on life support for several days. And then after that, that's when he and I both started having some pretty interesting experiences.
Wow. Well, Merry Christmas, Kat, because you've been looking for somebody who meets this criteria to come on the podcast.
I have been wanting to talk to someone with kind of a near-death experience, but that is literally a death experience. Mm-hmm. Only share what you feel comfortable with, but that is such an intense story. You said, how old were you again?
I was nine, and then my brother was seven. Yeah, crazy day for, we're two of three. So crazy day for my parents, unfortunately. It was really cool to see the family and the community come together after that. And it was just kind of like, how do you navigate afterwards, especially when you're a kid and you start seeing things and feeling things that are different. And we were never religious before that experience. And then after, we did start going to church after that.
Yeah, it must have just been so shocking to all systems,
like, yes,
for all of you. Wow. Do you remember a lot from that day?
I do, up until the point of actually going under. I don't remember anything like on the other side visually, mm-hmm. but I do remember the feeling. And the feeling was just super comfortable. And like, you just felt like this immense love all around you. So yeah. A lot of people, and I heard, I think Noah, you said you were afraid of death.
Yeah, I was just thinking in my head, I was like, I'm going to be so good and not mention that because I always mention it at this moment. But yes, I am horrified of dying.
You know, honestly, not so bad.
Especially if you get to come back. I mean, you were kind of getting the best of both worlds. You know?
I guess you could say that. I don't know. Wasn't a terrible experience though. I wouldn't, you know, I would give it like a 4-star Yelp review. Yeah.
Okay. A little room for improvement. But.
A little room for improvement. Yeah. I mean, the aesthetic was a little weird, but
And you also had a pretty serious issue. I saw on your Instagram story where you were talking about you had an issue with your kidney.
Oh, yeah.
6 years ago.
No, that was last year.
Last year.
Actually, okay. This time. Yeah. So today, last year, I was actually in the hospital. I had to get a kidney removed. It was just this weird situation all last year. And I'm very active and I love yoga. That's like my thing. And I did a yoga practice and I almost fainted. And it was the wildest thing. And then I started having heart palpitations, like all these crazy medical symptoms. I went to 13 different specialists over the course of 7 months and nobody knew what was going on. And I had had some kidney infections previously, but I didn't feel like it was a kidney infection, but they tested everything. And they're like, so your left kidney is 9% functional. It is harboring infection. So their theory was that there was like infection being basically slow dripped into my bloodstream, but you can't really prove that, you know? And so they were like, we can take it out and see if that helps. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, if it's not doing anything, take it out. I don't care. Yeah. At this point, I had already been hit my out of pocket max. So
yeah, take everything out at that
point. I mean, for it.
That's and the so, time to get a kidney removed, if ever there is one.
Well, yeah. And then it's just so funny because a lot of people would be like, why are you getting a kidney removed? And, you know, we're in Southern California. So it's like, oh, it's actually this new weight loss technique. Yeah. Yeah, you get rid of your organs that you don't need. And the amount of people who actually believed me, the terrifying thing.
I mean, how many pounds does a kidney weigh? How much?
Like nothing, especially because it was like atrophic. It was like half the size of a normal kidney.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
Well, before we get too far along, we do like to ask our guests on a scale from 0 to 10, 0 meaning you don't believe in ghosts at all, 10 meaning ghosts are absolutely real. Regina, where do you kind of fall on that scale?
10, if there was a higher number, for sure. But yeah, 10. Wow.
So you're maxed out.
Did your ghost experiences start happening after that drowning or near yes. drowning experience? So actual you drowning. You had or actual drowning. What?
Yeah. It's so weird because technically I did die, but a lot of people call it a near drowning because I didn't stay dead.
What constitutes a death?
Right? I don't know. I mean, 13 minutes is kind of a long time.
Yeah. I only ask because my grandpa allegedly died two times before he actually died. So I've always wondered what is that? But yeah, so your drowning experience really kicked this off. And what kind of things did you start seeing after that happened?
So it was hard because you're a kid. And so, you know, when you ask questions to adults, you know, they're going to dismiss you because it's like, they're just a kid. And I think when I started becoming really aware of it was when my brother gets dream premonitions and I see ghosts, spirits, things on the other world and can sense those energies. So that's my thing, but his thing is more dreams. And so I think my parents started to believe us when, cause I was just feeling really weird energy. And I was like, I don't know. I just feel different. And of course we go to family therapy afterwards to try to figure it out. And I couldn't explain it cause I was 9, you know, your vocabulary is pretty limited. But then my brother was like, hey, so why are we moving? And my parents are like, we're not moving. He's like, no, yeah, we're moving. I had a dream about it. And 2 months later we had to move to Nebraska for my dad's job. It was kind of weird. So they kind of started to believe us then. And then the place that we moved actually had a demon living in it. Ooh. So I don't know how spiritual you guys are on your ghost meter, but in the spiritual world, from what I've come to know, there's just various levels of spirits. So there's just spirits, which are ghosts. And then there are angels, demons, the whole thing. In my experience, that's what I've seen. So.
And when you say there's different levels, I mean, are ghosts kind of a neutral level or how does that work?
Yeah, for the most part, what I always tell people, because I've helped people get evil, quote unquote, evil spirits, but I don't think spirits are inherently evil. I think they're neutral out of their homes before. And what I always try to tell them is 9 times out of 10, they're just frustrated, confused, or lost. So a lot of these spirits that I've come into contact with, they're just not inherently aware that they're dead.
Right.
So, it's either they've had a traumatic death experience that's been cut short, their life has been cut short, mm-hmm. or, cut short by the will of someone else, like murder. And so there hasn't been really that smooth of a transition for them into the afterworld or afterlife. I say I'm Christian. Because the Bible, if you actually read it, not just, listen to what people have to say about it, but, it does to me fill a lot of the gaps in from what I've seen and what I've experienced. So I do believe in heaven and hell in that aspect. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it would be called purgatory, but I feel like a lot of spirits are just kind of roaming the earth lost.
Yeah. Interesting. Some people say that earth is the closest thing to hell for believers and the closest thing to heaven for non-believers. And that kind of made me
an interesting perspective.
Yeah. Cause all of us, this podcast is kind of, it is from a skeptic's point of view. We're all kind of trying to figure out how we feel about ghosts and that kind of thing. All three of us were raised with different type of religious and spiritual backgrounds. So it's just so interesting to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah.
But that's really interesting to think, because we have people come on all the time talking about spirits that are at a location or with an object, or, mm-hmm. you know, they've seen since they were children or when they're sleeping. And a majority of them feels like that, like stuck there or just always there, or like a construct that's built up. It's very hard to pinpoint, but I appreciate your like, this is what I think. Here's where they are. Like, that's really cool to hear.
It's really hard because I myself was skeptical for a long time, because I'm, you know, for up until probably 2 years ago, I didn't really look at it as a gift, almost like a burden. Mm-hmm. Like, why do I have to see this, feel this, experience this, et cetera. But a couple of years ago, I really came into it that it is a gift, because I was able to help somebody whose brother brought in like this witchcraft thing. And then all of a sudden he started acting different. So she sent me pictures of her house. I'm like, you know, I told her, I'm like, don't tell me where it is, where you feel it, you know, whatever this energy is. Just send me a bunch of random pictures of your house and let me see if I can pinpoint it. And I did. And it was like in this one hallway. And then I basically pointed out her brother's bedroom. And she's like, yeah, those are the two places where we've seen like or felt these things. And I don't know where this understanding really comes from. I'm wondering if it's partly because I did have that death experience, but I kind of just have this innate sense of knowing what this energy is, how to remove it, how to get rid of it. And so I told her, okay, well, I think what you should do is get your family in a circle and either pray or meditate. I use those words interchangeably because praying is obviously religious. Meditation, it's the same exact thing. It's just stillness, reflective stillness. I said, hold everybody's hand, including your brother, and either pray or meditate. Pray if you're, she was Catholic, so that worked out. So it was like, pray about just good things. Positive, love, light, mm-hmm. you know, remove any evil. And she said she did that. She called me immediately and she's like, my brother started convulsing. She's like, what in the world? And I was like, okay, so that's not going to work. So you're Catholic. I think you should call your priest and have him come in. You know, it's like, so if that's not, if the little kumbaya circle is not going to work, I don't know what to tell you kind of thing. But since then, I've helped a lot of different people and I helped my parents. They will not rent a house, buy a house. They won't do anything until I look at it. Mm-hmm. And that took a long time for them to finally believe me, but it happened. Yeah. So it's just been proven so many times to me. It's almost like the scientific method. It's like, well, I have a theory that this is what it is. Try this and it works. Mm-hmm. So
do you feel that way when you walk into like a public space or like a restaurant or a store? You kind of just get this initial feeling of what the space is like?
It depends. So it's something at this point, because I've lived with it for so long, that I can kind of tune in and tune out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a little too strong to be able to tune out. I know you guys had JoJo on one of your podcasts and he talked about the Queen Mary. Obviously, I live 20 minutes away from that. And my best friend got married on the Queen Mary. Oh, wow. And I had been there before for their, you know, public things. But when she got married, we got early access to get on the ship to set everything up. It's overwhelming. Not all of it, but there are specific areas of it where it was just like, oh, I got to get out of this room.
Yeah.
You know?
So like in that kind of situation, I mean, what are you feeling? Are you like sensing, like, are you hearing like specific voices telling you a message, or is it more just kind of like a general feeling of uneasiness?
It's a little bit of both. Again, very dependent on that individual encounter. The best way I could describe an angry spirit, or, you know, somebody who's really more frustrated than anything, would be that subtle of unease. So like, if you've ever had that knot in your stomach, like you just know something's not right. It's kind of like that. And if I tune into it more, then I can figure out what it is. But typically if I'm just out in public, I don't want to tune into it because it can be a little much.
Yeah.
Most spirits are super neutral. So it's just, you get the sense that, okay, I'm not alone here. That's fine.
Regina, just to kind of hone in exactly like, and it sounds like it may be a mixture of things, but do you see apparitions as well?
I have seen demons, Those are terrifying. Absolute sheer terror. I don't watch paranormal movies at all. I refuse. It's too real for me. I have seen angels. In my experience, they haven't looked the stereotypical like angel on top of the tree kind of thing. They've looked very different in all sorts of different fashions. And then I have seen spirits or ghosts, as you would call them.
So how do you tell the difference between all three of those?
For me, it's not so much what they look like, but it's also how they feel. And demons, what I've found, look more like, or demonic presences, I would say, maybe not like demons, how we all think of them, you know, in the movies and such, but demonic presence, Freudian slip.
More demonic presence.
So demonic presences, they have been more like shadow figures. And then angels are more just really, really bright. So darkness and light, and then ghosts are grayscale. There's no color. It's the weirdest thing. It's really hard, but like you can see the detail and you know what color their stuff is. It's just like, it's not there.
Can you have like a conversation with them, or is it more like an internal dialogue, or how does that work with you?
So for me, from what I've noticed is they don't actually talk. It's more like, you know what they're saying, but it's almost like telepathy in a sense. Yeah. And it's, you can talk to them, but they don't really talk to you. It's just this feeling of, you know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. You don't like happen to see anything through the Zoom window, do you?
I see. No, you're good to go.
I just have this one guest that comes on a lot who sees a woman standing behind us a lot. So
yeah, I don't see anything now. I'm not also tuned into it, but what I would recommend, I always recommend, don't take video of spirits. If you think that your house is haunted, don't take a video. And I don't know what it is, but ghosts and spirits love mirrors and lenses. And I don't know why or what it is, but I have heard of several people where they take video and the spirit gets into their phone or camera. Mm-hmm. For me, I actually can see the spirits better in pictures rather than a video.
I was going to go back to the part about prayer and meditation. That's such an interesting like view on it. I have grown up like learning about prayer and praying, you know, I was just like in church all the time and raised Methodist and we prayed at every meal. And it wasn't until like a couple of years ago that I started having a lot of friends that really meditated. When you meditate, you calm your brain, you calm mm-hmm. your breathing. You really go into a place where you can like be very thoughtful. I don't even like
intentional, like yeah. you're trying to be intentional.
Right. And I think that mm-hmm. when you're able to be so in tune and in line with yourself and with the world and with, you know, the environment and tune things out like that and slow your brain activity, it's almost like your senses are open to interpret more to your surroundings, to the people around you. And I think that would be the ultimate place for prayer too, because then you're really able mm-hmm. to think about what you're wanting to change in the world too. So,
yeah, I say this on my TikTok, like I've said it on my live as well. I don't know. I don't have a lot of videos on all these things because it literally just blew up like last week, but I did a live for like a couple hours actually. And a lot of people were asking questions. And my whole theory is the first law of thermodynamics is energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It's always either transferred somehow. And that's a universal law of physics. For me, I'm Christian, but I also believe that herbs have medicinal properties. I also believe that crystals have spiritual and helpful properties. And the reason why I believe all of those things that a lot of Christians, you know, textbook, quote unquote, Christians would say is like wrong or evil or witchcraft or whatever. I believe that those things do come from God in a sense that God put his energy in the earth and there had to be some kind of chemical combustion for that one specific mineral to happen. And so like, because energy is neither created nor destroyed, it's only transferred. You're still getting the energy of whatever was put into the earth through that. Same with our food, which I think is why a lot of people are, you know, trying to eat more consciously and everything.
Even if not talking about religion, if you're, and I love talking about religion too, but meditating and like putting that energy into the world, like if it's mm-hmm. positive and it's confident and it's like self-love too, like of course you're going to conquer that, not well, metaphorically conquer the room that maybe you're fearful yeah. that there's energy that's darker or less confident than you too. So like, I think that's a really good message for anyone trying to kind of sit and be in tune with themselves and the people around them and spread kindness and love and all that kind of stuff. So
exactly.
And I think we should change this podcast from ghosts into promoting self-love. Because
there we go. Let's do it. What do we think?
On a scale of 0 to 10, how do we all feel about self-love?
I'm a 10 on self-love. I'm still a 5 on ghosts.
But, you know, Noah's the only one that's actually experienced kind of like seeing a ghost.
I thought you were going to say Noah's the only one that doesn't experience self-love. And I was like, thanks, Matt. That's great. Oh,
Noah's the only... No.
No. Yeah, I don't know, Regina, if you're, but the first episode I had a thing where I was a kid and swiped my hand through a ghost while playing hide and go seek, although I'm not really sure if it happened or not. I mean, I have the memory and the other person who was in the room remembers it too, but it just feels kind of like...
So that's grandiose. Super skeptical. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I've told the story so many times. I'm like, I don't know if it's like a forced memory, you know, or a forced narrative from telling it so many times, but
I feel like, I heard the episode, where you were recounting that story and you said that it was a like grayscale figure, but like that it had red eyes.
Yeah. Like reflective eyes. Almost.
Yeah.
And I remember them being like red tinted.
I thought that was really interesting because I had never seen a spirit that had red. Usually they're just black. Like they don't have eyes really. They're just kind of sockets, but it's weird. You can tell where they're looking in the room. So I had one and like, it was like staring at my phone with the utmost curiosity, which makes sense because he was dressed in like late 1800s garb. But so he was like, what is that kind of thing? But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. The red eyes. I don't know what that means.
And it felt, I just remember being so sure that it was one of my friends. Like I just knew 100%. It was one of them running across the room and I was so excited to like smack them with like my 13-year-old hand, you know, or whatever, but turned out it wasn't.
Spooky. So you're still skeptical even after that experience?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a couple of experiences, but I don't know. It's hard for me to believe 100% in almost anything, like unless like it's super grounded. My therapist has said that I prefer things to be concrete, but I'm also very creative. So it causes kind of like a confliction internally, I think. But I think that's also what makes me very curious, you know, and I want to hear all these stories so I can continue to kind of form an opinion. But there are times where, you know, we may have a certain guest on and I reflect on my experience and I feel like, okay, it's definitely real. But then time will pass from that interview or from editing the interview. And then I'll kind of reset back to like a 5 or 6.
I hope you don't have to have too many more experiences.
I'm done with that. I have a kid now. I don't need any more experiences. All experienced up. Just want to hear stories.
I do feel like I relate that way to Noah sometimes because I can be so decisive when it comes to like my job and to like things I'm doing during the day. But there's something about like, Noah says this a lot in podcasts that like he's an empath and he kind of takes on other people's emotions. And I feel that really strongly too. I just always feel kind of cheesy, like saying it that way. But I think that's what makes me so indecisive sometimes with stuff because it makes me be like, well, maybe this is right. Or maybe it's this way. But I do like find it kind of a personal goal to be more like, this is how I believe. And this is what I want to say. And this is, but I mean, my, you know, hearts and minds are always changing. So being open to new experiences and truths is kind of my mantra right now. And listening to everybody's stories, which speaking of stories.
Yeah.
I would love to hear kind of the story that caught Noah's ear when he heard your story on TikTok.
Yeah. So that's, I think that was the one where my parents first believed me. So I was 9, drowned. My brother was like, we're moving. We ended up moving. That was kind of freaky. We moved into our house and we were renting this house in Omaha or just outside of Omaha, a small town called Bellevue. It's not so small anymore. But I told my mom, you know, there's something in my room. And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, it's angry. Like it's in my room. And she just thought, I mean, I'm a 9-year-old kid, fresh off of an anoxic brain injury, total trauma. We just moved, you know, she's like, okay, sure. You know, and she kind of just chalked it up to trauma, but, you know, my room would be super, super, super hot and then freezing cold the next second. And it was just all these crazy things. And we had the old school crank windows. I don't know if you guys remember those, but we had the old crank windows and I had it open one day and my closet door was open and my radio was on. It was like one of those stereo alarm clock radio things. And all of a sudden the window slams shut. The radio turns off. And then the closet door slams closed. And I just look and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I want to be here anymore. So there's a lot more stories from then, but you know, I would tell my mom these things and she's just like, oh, well maybe it was the wind. And I'm like, it's a crank window. Like I can't even close it. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But she just didn't believe me, which it makes sense. Why? And then we moved, we were looking for a house and I was then 12 at this time. And so my parents were like, okay, well, you're the oldest, you know, you're 12, you can kind of come with us and we'll get your opinion on what you think of these houses. And so we pull up to this house and immediately I tell my dad, like, I don't like this house. And he's just like, God, we let you come and you're just being a pain in the ass. Like, stop being prissy. I know it's an old house. It's going to be fine. Like, we're not rich. We can't afford, like, you know, he just goes off, you know, he thinks I'm just being really rude. And I'm just like, okay. And so then we walk in and then I grab my mom's hand and I said, Mom, this house is evil. And she looks at me, she's like, what do you mean? And when you walk in, where are you guys located?
Atlanta.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. So do you guys have basements there?
Some people have basements.
Yeah, like an actual basement.
So like, because you're from Nebraska and I grew up in Kansas.
Okay, so.
Yeah, well, I know about basements.
Okay, got it.
We currently have one, but well, yes, we do. We have a basement.
We don't have a basement. It's on the ground floor. A basement.
No, Hunter's is not on the ground floor.
It is on the ground floor. It's where you enter if you're going in through the garage.
Okay, but
a basement is underground.
Underground. Tornado. It's like tornado shelter.
But I feel like people have those here, no?
I think most of it's usually above ground.
As big of a thing. Like where we're from, it's like every house, almost every house has a basement.
Yeah.
If
you have to.
Basement, then you have a plan of going to your neighbor's basement.
Am I just finding out what basement means? We have tons of basements in Georgia, but of course there's a door downstairs that leads to the outside.
We'll have to start a new podcast.
It's subterranean, maybe, but
We do have a window. We have a downstairs, and one window is. Never mind. You go.
Stop the basement bits. Let me finish the story.
No, I just wasn't sure because I didn't know how like in depth of a description I have to go. But obviously, we have a broad spectrum, so I'll describe it.
A little wide definition of basements, but I understand.
In the Midwest, there are these basements, and they're completely underground. But some houses you walk in, and then there's like an actual staircase, like one staircase leading all the way down. Other houses, it's called a split level. So that's where your entryway is kind of where maybe your definition, Kat, of a basement would be. And then it goes down maybe like eight more steps into the basement and then up eight more steps to like the main floor kind of thing. So it's kind of, that's why it's called a split level. It's split. Anyways, so we walk in, that's what this house is. To the entryway, grab my mom's hand. And so you can kind of see the basement from this area. And I tell her, this house is evil. She looks at me, she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm not going down there. Pointing to the basement. She's like, okay, you don't need to go into the basement. She's just like, so like annoyed. At this point, my parents are just more annoyed with me. And so we're walking up the main area. And then I immediately get drawn, like pulled to this kid's room. You could tell it was the kid's room because it was like the walls were painted blue and then there were Disney decals all over the walls and everything like that. And so I'm walking around this room kind of dragging my hand across the walls. And I don't know why, I just felt compelled to do this. And so I'm dragging my hand across the walls and I'm facing away from the door into the room. My mom walks in and she's like, "What are you doing?" And I turn around and I'm just bawling. I'm just crying. And she's like, "What's going on?" And I said, "I have to get out of this house." And I just start freaking out. I'm like, "Mom, this house is evil. I don't know why, but I can't be here. I cannot be in this house and you shouldn't be in this house and we can't be here." And so I ran out of the house and I couldn't even like stand on the driveway because it was just so, such a crazy feeling, intense. And my dad is just like, "Whatever, we'll just leave." And so we leave. And then later that night, my parents, you know, call me into their room and my dad has his computer and he's like, "So about that house that we went to earlier, why did you feel it was evil?" And I said, "I don't know. It's just the little boy was so sad that was there. He was so sad." And he's like, "So you saw a little boy?" I said, "No, I didn't see him. I felt him though. And he was saying how evil the house was." And he's like, "Okay. So I'm going to tell you this and I don't want you to get freaked out. Just know like whatever this means, like we're getting it together," kind of thing. And he's like, "So I did some research on the house and several years ago before the previous owner, there was a dad and a mom and a son. And the dad actually locked the mom and the son in the basement and the son ended up dying." And so he's like, "So you're coming with us to every house we look at." And so that's why now, I mean, it doesn't matter where they're at. They will literally fly me because my dad moves a lot for his job. They will fly me out to see their houses. And
I feel like there's a real estate market you could corner, you know.
You know, I've been trying ever since that TikTok kind of blew up. I'm like, okay, how can I monetize on this? You know?
I like to ask our guests this. Now, in this specific situation, you didn't see the apparition or the spirit, but you did feel it in kind of your mind's eye or, you know, in your soul or whatever you want to call it. Can you still like remember what that feeling felt like from that time?
Yeah. Yeah. And every time I tell a story, I mean, I'm wearing a long sleeve, so you can't really see on the Zoom, but I get crazy amounts of chills. Because it just really does take me back to that moment, especially with the ones being spirits that have been, you know, murdered specifically, and kids especially. It's just this overwhelming sadness.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, one thing that has kind of made you consider this a gift and not, I guess we'll say like a curse or something, is that you have been able to help people or maybe even potentially help spirits move on. Are there any stories where that's happened that have kind of impacted you or other people that you would want to share?
So I had the first time that I thought it was a gift with that friend whose brother brought in like some weird devil candle or something. And don't get stuff from witchcraft stores. Just don't do it. Even if you don't believe it, just don't. Like, better safe than sorry kind of thing.
I just bought a monkey paw.
Is that part of a witch? Do witches use monkey paws?
It's like a did you never read the monkey
paw? Yeah, you make wishes and great things happen, right?
No. Like, I don't even know what a basement is. So why would I know?
I have no idea what a monkey pot is.
Right.
I don't know. I don't deal with like Ouija boards though or anything like that. Because for me, it's like, why call it upon yourself? You know, even if you don't believe it, it's just like, why even tempt it? You know,
so you're not in for the Real Hauntings live seance. Then we can scratch you off the guest list.
Yeah, we could scratch that one off. I'll come afterwards and clear out all the spirits. How about that?
I will say it does scare me a little bit that like the most believable guest we have on are all like, "Yeah, no, I'm not fucking with your seance. Get out of here."
No, I just, I don't mess with it. It's just, why, you know, these spirits.
So where we can see cats scream. I mean, that's why we.
Well, I just don't want to take any spirit that is already at peace and and disturb them. I've done that before and they're very karmatic. And so I just don't deal with that. You know, if they're there, I'll help them out. I'll listen to them. I'll validate them. I'll assure them. So like, that's the other thing, that if you feel like you have a spirit in your house, try to assure them that they're okay to move on, because they're obviously there for a reason. They're either frustrated, they're lost, they're confused, or they're attached to something that they think they need to protect that doesn't, you know, warrant their protection anymore. And so 9 times out of 10, when my friends are now people from TikTok have come to me to get some help, you know, it's just like, okay, just assure them, like, this is their energy level. They're just protective of X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. Assure them that you will watch out for the house or whatever item this is, or just throw away the item. That's what I usually start with. But, and then, or the land, like, you'll look out for it and it's safe and they can move on and, you know, they can rest easy knowing that, that it's going to be okay. And actually just most recently, a few days ago, somebody reached out to me through, she found my TikTok and she reached out to me through Instagram. She had been having these issues where they couldn't get a full night's sleep because they just kept hearing creaks and like noises and doors closing and all this. And then these noises were more in her bedroom, this woman's bedroom. But then it started going into her son's room, and that was a little too much for her, obviously, as a mother. And so I have her take pictures of her house, like throughout, you know, different areas where she thinks she sees it. And sure enough, I asked if there were, I saw two spirits in the pictures. And so I asked, you know, do you feel like it's only one, or do you feel like there's more than one? And that's when she's like, yeah, no, there's definitely more than one. I was like, okay. And she let me know that her house was built in the 90s. So she didn't understand what had happened. And a lot of people think like a newer home means it's not going to have spirits in it. And that's just not true. But these people had about, I would say, you know, maybe 1930s clothes on. And so my guess to her was that they probably owned the land, or they worked on the land. And the energy that I got from the pictures, from seeing them in the pictures, was that that they died in a tragic accident, but they left behind a child. And so that's likely why they're being drawn to her child. And so I said, what I would do is, you know, are you religious? And she's like, yes. And so I said, okay, with your son, maybe, you know, just pray. Or, you know, say out loud, hold his hand and say out loud that, you know, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for being concerned with us, but we are protected and you can move on, and we will watch over the land, and we will watch over. And, you know, you as the mom say, you'll watch over the son. And she says that she did this, and that was the first full night's sleep that she was able to get with no noises. And then I checked back with her yesterday, and she said that she still hasn't had anything happen.
When you are helping people and like, let's say, you know, like I had some kind of spiritual problem with my house, and mm-hmm. I'm not a religious person. I don't, you know, I usually say I'm either atheist or agnostic. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that kind of hampers, that would hamper my ability to deal with this kind of issue, or do you find that there are ways for non-religious people to kind of exorcise spirits from their homes?
Yeah, it depends. That's a great question. And it depends. And that's why it's one of my first questions that I usually ask, because that's going to determine how I would recommend you going about getting rid of the spirit. Specifically, if a spirit's attached to you, which a spirit can become attached to a person, in my experience, if they feel more chaotic, like somebody's trying to get them to leave, because if you try this and it doesn't work, you're just going to piss it off. And that's when things are going to start moving across the room, because now they're agitated, because now it's like, they're kind of like, they know they're not wanted there, but they like, you haven't fully gotten them to leave.
So like, so, I went through the motions of trying to like spray holy water or something. The spirits would be like, I see what you're doing, but like, I know it's bullshit.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much. I mean, and that's the other thing too, is like, okay, when I see a picture, I can tell if it's like a neutral spirit, like where it's at on the spectrum. And if it's some kind of evil spirit, or if it's been throwing things at you already, that's when I say, don't even try. Like, cause already it's agitated. And so if you are non-religious, I would always recommend getting a medium. If you're comfortable with a priest in your house, then, you know, do that. But I always like to respect people's beliefs. Because then the medium specifically, they're able to go in, take that spirit, basically allow it to attach to themselves, and then they can get rid of it. But if you get a spirit out and it's just kind of, now it's just agitated, pissed off, floating around, if you don't have that kind of stronghold of faith, or that like shield, I guess, you know, that protective kind of spiritual layer, your guard is down. And so it very easily can start to attack you or attach to you. So that's just kind of, it doesn't mean you can't get rid of it. It's just, my methodology that I would recommend for somebody to try to get rid of it would be different.
I almost feel like you have to believe in what you're doing and what you're saying and what you're thinking to really let it take effect too. Like,
yeah, 100%.
If you want, I mean, surrounded by like good light and good energy, you have to believe that like when you're saying it and when you're meditating on it, when you're like manifesting it, like that's what's going to happen.
And that's, yeah, absolutely.
So no, I don't think, if you don't believe in holy water, JJ, and you spray it over the room, it is not going to work.
It's just going to get everything wet.
But also understand that there have been a lot of times where people come to me. Well, I don't want to say a lot. There's been like three that, you know, they did have a priest come in and it made it almost worse. And so that's when I will remind people that just because somebody is a pastor or a priest doesn't mean that to their heart of hearts, their core, their soul, they do believe this. Mm-hmm. And so there is, you know, a level of, you have to truly believe it. And maybe that's where, you know, that cognitive dissonance fills in. And maybe that's where some of the skepticism comes in, is, you know, the people who do truly believe it are typically the ones who will see it or will help, you know, get rid of these things like that. But, you know, cause otherwise, again, you're kind of half-assing getting rid of this being that's on a completely different, you know, plane of existence. And well, now it's just pissed off.
Regina, what do you think about the noise that has been like bleeding through a couple of our podcast episodes? I mean, obviously we don't know if it's something supernatural. It is odd that it tends to sounds similar, but it's usually slightly different. And we had it happen again. Like, I guess the last episode we posted, we had some listeners reach out and be like, oh my gosh, did you hear at such and such minute, the whispery ghost came back?
Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram, actually, from your last podcast.
I mean, is that a happened. Thing that can happen? Like, can ghost, does it need its own podcast? Why does it keep trying to get in with us?
I mean, it's a supernatural podcast, so it kind of makes sense. He's fair. Like, excuse me.
If any podcast.
You're getting clout off of my existence. Yeah. Thank you.
You're asking.
Give me credit. So what I would say is likely one of your guests probably had a spirit in itself, because again, with like, I don't know what it is. I haven't figured it out yet, but like with mirrors and lenses, like it's a thing. I refuse to buy secondhand mirrors. I refuse. I don't know if it's like an interdimensional portal, like with glass. I don't know, but
that sounds really fun.
I'm sure Neil deGrasse Tyson has the answer to it all, but, I don't. So
it was our most haunted guest who saw it. I mean, I would say Amanda is about as haunted. I mean, she has opened doors for ghosts and people look at her like, what is wrong with you? There's no people trying to walk through.
Yeah. So then it's very likely that they could have gotten stuck into, you know, one of those electromagnetic waves or something like that. Because here's the reason why I tried to deny what I even saw for so long. I tried to justify it. I tried to be like, maybe this or that, the other, you know, we can only see like this much of the color spectrum, you know, in our world. It's like, so if that's just color, like what else are we missing?
And for the listeners, you know, it was about an inch in case you were.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah. This much, like, yeah, about an inch. I don't know the percentage and I don't want to throw out arbitrary numbers, but, you know, if you, I'm sure quick Google search, you can figure it out. Like you see a very minimal piece of the color spectrum. And so for me, it's like, okay, well, our eyes aren't really that good in that sense. And so what else are we missing? What else are we not seeing? Sure. And so there are different wavelengths, especially with technology. Now, I think we're starting to see everything that we haven't really been able to see before. You know, and so it's possible it's stuck in one of your mics.
Oh gosh. Do you put any stock in like people using electronic equipment to talk to ghosts? Like there's that app that's popular people use on their phone, and then people use like spirit boxes. Do you put any stock in any of that stuff, or does that feel a little hokey to you?
It feels a little hokey to me personally. Here's the thing. You're going to see whatever you want to see. You're going to hear whatever you want to hear. You know, whatever you go looking for, you will find it. And so it could work. I don't want to discount that it doesn't work because I haven't really tried it. But the reason why I haven't tried it is because it's like, I don't need that.
Because you are
to know that
box.
Ghosts are real. Like, yeah, I am the spirit box. Yeah, but I also won't mess with like Ouija boards or anything like that. But do I know that they could work? Sure. Perhaps. It's the same thing with like psychics and stuff like that. Like I have, you know, this level of, I guess some would call psychic abilities to like talk to different spirits and see spirits and all that. So I really like going to psychics because the good ones will be able to tell right away. They're like, are you like, are you also kind of a medium, you know? But then the bad ones are like, oh, let me tell you this. And it's such bull, you know?
Yeah.
So outside of spiritual and paranormal talk, what was it that made you decide to pursue your own writing? Well, you've been writing forever, but like singing and performing it.
Yeah. So a couple of different things. So after you die, you search for purpose. It kind of puts this level of I'm here for a reason on things. And so there have been times, I mean, we've all, I think every person probably listening has felt, you know, the ebbs and flows of emotional stability. So I'm no different. I've definitely gone through some dark parts of life, and I've had a very interesting childhood, and I would love to say that the drowning was the most of the trauma, but it was not. And so I think, you know, my purpose, because I'm here for a reason, you know, otherwise I would have died. So I think my purpose is to really share my experiences, my truth, share myself, share my story, so that other people going through these things see a little or feel a little more seen and heard and understood and know that they're not alone. And so that's really what promoted me to take my writing more public and to really step above myself, I guess I would say. It's not really stepping outside of myself because it's very much me and my raw vulnerability, but to step above myself, to really push this public of, hey, you know what? It's all good. We all go through this. So, and then I also got my heart broken like at the beginning of quarantine from a dude on Hinge. So, I mean, that kind of also sparked it, but
that like, shit will write books. It's fucking sucks. But
20 songs and counting, 20 songs and counting. So, well,
you know, so if got we wanted, album. If we wanted to check out your music or kind of follow your story, do you want to tell our listeners your Instagram, your TikTok?
Yeah. So all my handles are at Regina_Hart_, and Hart is H-A-R-T. Okay. And then I also have a website, reginahartmusic.com. It's nothing fancy, just there. And I would post more, I would say I post more of my paranormal stuff now, more on TikTok. But if you don't have a TikTok, you know, I have Instagram. I have a Facebook, but I don't, I mean, is anybody even on Facebook anymore? Yeah. Is that like a thing?
And how
I feel like that's where the spirits are hanging out. It's dead, you know?
I mean, that is almost kind of a dark joke because I hate to say it. There are like people I've lost in my life. And then you'll see like on Facebook, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday. And you're just like, ah, come on. Yeah. Like they passed away. This is, it just makes me, it always makes me feel so weird when that happens.
Facebook is going to be like a massive, like virtual cemetery for all of us.
Maybe that's like what their whole end game is. You know, Mark Zuckerberg's in it for the long con. He's actually competing with Ancestry.com or something.
Oh gosh. You know?
Well, started to rate the hot girls at his college. And now his end goal is to just make it a big worldwide cemetery.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what a transition to this question. So where can our fans actually download your debut single on the 21st?
Spotify, Apple, Amazon. It's getting distributed to Napster again, another
oldie.
Yeah, I didn't know this. And then they were like, oh yeah, we'll distribute it to Napster. I'm like, I mean, if it's included, you don't have to, but.
And what is the name of that single again?
This is Goodbye. And it's just my name, Regina Hart. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, well, Regina, we hope that this isn't goodbye from you to the Real Hauntings audience, because this was a lot of fun. And we do try to bring back some of our favorite guests in interesting, fun ways and do some neat things for the guest and for the fans. So hopefully we can get you back on the podcast again.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
We're back on the 21st. Can't wait to listen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was super spooky about the kid that died from the abusive father in that house. I don't know.
Did she say that the mom passed away too and the kid, or is it just
the kiddo? I like when we have a little bit more serious conversations too. It's just like people all over the place go through so many different types of things, and this experience seemed to really ground her and help her search for who she is and what she believes in. And that's more than a lot of people can say. So I loved hearing that.
I know, Kat, you've been wanting to talk to somebody who had a near-death experience. And it was interesting the way she said, I died. I have never really heard it. I mean, I understand what she's saying. It's like she coded, which I guess is death. But I've always heard it as a near-death experience, kind of how you had framed it. What was it like getting to hear that story and kind of what she went through?
In my head, near-death experiences before, you know, modern medicine were death experiences and they did not come back. So I think like science has continued to develop and it will continue to develop. And it's really amazing that they both made it out of that, because my line of work is an occupational therapist with infants that are either born with disabilities or go through traumatic experiences. And I've had a few suffer intense lack of oxygen to their brain, one who has passed and some that come back even more regressed than they were when we started. So it doesn't happen for everyone for them to come back fully and be able to tell their story. So it is a miracle in the sense of modern science that we're able to talk to them and hear their experiences. And especially like if they do remember things that happen when they die, or you know, whether that be afterlife or supernatural, or whether it's their brain firing off last minute neurochemicals through their synapses or whatever it may be.
Does it make you believe her stories, or just stories in general about the supernatural, when you hear somebody talk about an experience like that and then they describe their relationship with the supernatural starting after experiencing something like that?
I truly believe that an experience, it almost takes an experience like that for some people to be able to be more in tune with the environment around them, or their connection with whatever energy is around them. And I absolutely believe everything that she's experienced and everything that she told us. Whether it would be the same for us if we went through it, I don't know. I just like could go all day listening to those kinds of stories, you know?
Yeah, that was fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny that I think she was trying to bring me some comfort because she knew that I have a fear of death by letting me know that the process of expiring wasn't that bad. When all I could think of in my head, I was just like, oh my God, she died. Like I felt no comfort, which I guess I should have, but it wasn't there. I don't know. Yeah. It scares me. JJ, being our most hardened skeptic.
Most hardened.
How does that affect you hearing, a story like that? Cause I did think hers was one of the more interesting narratives we've heard as far as an introduction into the supernatural.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty amazing story, for sure. And I mean, that story about her checking out the house with her family is really creepy and unsettling.
Especially how her family reacted, which is, I feel like, how a family would react, right? They'd be like, oh, the teenager is being a brat, kind of thing,
I love that, her family came around to it and were like, you know what, we believe you. That's... what a happy story. I like that, but I don't know. It's so hard when we don't really know these people other than, our 50 minute interview with them. It's just hard to know what to believe, I guess, because, my own mind is kind of hardwired to believe in more the kind of scientific approach, in the skeptical approach. So it's not that I think anyone coming on is really lying to us, but it's just what we as individuals perceive as reality isn't always objective reality. But I don't know. It's a tough place to be in.
I do need to share something that spooked me recently.
Oh, yeah.
I've been so excited to tell the podcast this. JJ has a different point of view on it, but that's okay. So, well, maybe not. So I sometimes will fall asleep without a pillow on purpose. I'll take the pillow out from behind my head and I just want a clear, neutral neck when I'm sleeping, because I don't know. It just feels
like good. As a flex to prove you can do it, or?
No, just because it's comfortable. Like my head hurts from being flex, kind of looking down all day at the kids I work with, or the phone I'm on, or the computer I'm on. And I fall asleep really peacefully and it feels great. And I woke up and my pillow was perfectly placed behind my head. Now I had put the pillow on the bed, kind of by my feet. So there's a chance I sat up in bed, grabbed it and put it behind my head. Okay. I wake up and I'm like, okay, maybe I did that. I put it on the floor next, woke up again and ask JJ or ask me, as I'm telling you, I wake up constantly tossing and turning, or when he moves or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
So I move the pillow. So if I were to sit up and pick up a pillow and put it behind my head, I'm sure I would wake up to that. I talk in my sleep, but I've never really done anything else in my sleep anyways. So it was behind my head. I put it on the floor. I woke up again, perfectly placed behind my head. I did it a third time, put it on the floor next to my bed, and woke up again with it perfectly placed behind my head. I had no recollection three times of putting it back behind my head.
Now, did you tell JJ while this was going on that it was happening, or did you tell him the next day?
No, because it's not like I felt it during the night. I would just wake up and be genuinely what? I am trying to sleep without a pillow and there's a pillow behind my head.
Did you get any spooky sensations or anything?
No, nothing like that. There was one night this week where I had a very scary dream and woke up not wanting to open my eyes, not wanting to get out of the covers, but it was different than the pillow night.
You did tell me that morning that that had happened.
And what was your reaction, JJ?
Well, my reaction was, the person who gets up in the middle of the night and starts speaking gibberish to me probably just grabbed a pillow in her sleep and put it behind her neck. You do. You totally do.
I speak gibberish. I don't do it all the time.
What does her gibberish sound like?
It's honestly just getting up and going, it's more I can understand what she's saying because of the intonation of her voice rather than any actual words.
Do you ever try to talk back to her, or you just kind of let her go through her process?
I usually go, oh, okay, that's great. And then we'll go back to sleep.
Now, I just distinctly remember I must have been younger than 13 because I must have been younger than 12 or 11 because my oldest sister still lived with me at my childhood house. And I distinctly remember her waking me up and being like, Catherine. And I was like, what? And she was like, why do you want to kill yourself? You were just saying,
oh, God, Kat, that took a turn.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it did.
What happened to the pillows?
So I've definitely like, yeah, I did. Well, trigger warning. Sorry, guys. But no, absolutely am known for talking in my sleep. But
do you ever now? I don't talk per se in my sleep, but I will scream myself awake because I have a lot of nightmares. So I'll like have a situation in a dream where I want to scream, or you know how in dreams sometimes like you try to hit something and you can't hit, or you know, one of those like weird interactions in a dream that kind of, I just know I want to get out. And so I'll try to scream and I will literally like my mouth doesn't open. So it's a closed mouth scream and I'll wake myself up. Super creepy.
Wow. That's terrifying. I've never done that, but I have woken up like hysterically laughing a couple times, not while we've been, but
yeah,
I think hysterically laughing and one time crying and a lot of, okay. Other than that, my dreams are usually like, I'm trying to get gum out of my mouth and I can't do it, which probably means I'm asleep with my mouth open and my mouth's dry.
Yeah.
And then I constantly have these two other dreams, one where I'm driving a car and suddenly I'm in like the back seat or the passenger seat and I can't control the steering wheel and we like fly off a cliff or through a town or down a hole, or I have to really go to the bathroom and I keep trying throughout the dream, but I just can't go.
Hey, I have that one. I think you and I must be similar in the way our brain chemistry approaches sleep. When I studied psychology in college, I had a professor say that if you're a very vivid dreamer and you're a light sleeper, odds are you're not reaching a deep level of REM sleep like a lot of people. And so that's what kind of makes those surface level interactions boil up, where you might talk or walk, or for me, it's having those super vivid dreams and being a light sleeper, like, my guess is that's probably why we have night terrors too. I think all that is probably connected.
Well, I was just about to connect that, you know, when we do take those rare naps, like in the middle of the day or whatever, when we actually do go into deep, deep, deep sleep, our brains are probably still trying to wake up, which makes us have those paradoxical sleep paralysis. Did we just crack this?
I think we did. I think we solved
it. Okay. All right.
Code solved.
Podcast over. Ooh.
No ghost. It was brain chemistry. All of them.
JJ, do you have any weird dream stuff, or you just close your eyes, go to sleep and wake up?
I don't have. I've had like night terrors twice in my life, I think.
Okay.
But both times were like when someone else who was sleeping in the room also started screaming. One was at like a church lock-in.
Oh gosh.
Me and my buddy, I guess we're just screaming at each other in the middle of the night. The other time I was doing this kind of like work volunteer abroad thing and I had a roommate and I just had this dream that I was like yelling at my roommate, who I got along with really well. But then I woke up in the morning, I think he was either gone or I just like got ready and like didn't see him. And then I saw him later that day in our like cafeteria at breakfast. And I was like, hey, this is a really weird question, but did I scream at you last night? And his eyes just got really big. And he was like, why are you asking that? And I said, well, I had this dream and I thought I was like yelling at you in the dream. And I just kind of woke up and I thought maybe I had actually yelled at you in my sleep. And he was like, well, I don't know about that, but I also had a dream that I was just screaming at you. So I think both of us were like screaming at each other in our sleep and neither one of us woke up from it though, which makes me wonder like the people who like had a room above us or next to us, like what the hell did they think was going on?
JJ, some people might call that a supernatural interaction.
But those people are stupid, honestly, because it was just weird sleep stuff. So,
well, goodness. So anybody that's still listening to us talk about our sleep, thank you so much. You must be true fans and we love you. Yes, you. So let us know how you're feeling. If you have any stories or weird coincidences that you heard, email us Instagram us, TikTok us.
Send us a letter.
Patreon, what's it called? Patreon us, whatever you need.
We're here. Make sure to check out our Patreon. We just launched it. It's patreon.com/realhauntings. And like Kat said, we really do appreciate you guys. You have made doing this podcast so worth it. I don't think any of us quite expected the reaction we would get from doing a podcast where we just questioned if ghosts were real. I mean, it's been a blast. So yeah, guys, thank you all so much. And by the time this episode comes out, the holidays will have passed, but we certainly hope that you all have had great Christmas or however you celebrate the holidays. Hopefully it's been exactly what you want. We know this has kind of been a weird year, but I firmly believe that 2021 will be much better. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Kat.